Oh, my city, I feel like traveling on. Yes, I feel like traveling, traveling on. I feel like traveling on. My heavenly home is bright and fair. I feel like traveling on.
Let's sing that fourth one again. Has the Lord been so good to you tonight?
Amen.
I mean, can we just outdo the Lord? We can't do it, can we? I say we sing it again. Here we go.
The Lord has been so good to me. I feel like traveling on. Until that blessed home I see, I feel like traveling on. Yes, I feel like traveling, traveling on. I feel like traveling on. My heavenly home is bright and fair. I feel like traveling on.
Hey, that's good singing. You may be seated. Let's go to God in prayer at this time. Who has a special prayer request on their heart tonight? Yes, Brenda.
I still remember my sister's boyfriend. He said he enjoyed today, and he said he really liked his band and his preaching of his kingdom in your prayers.
Amen. Keep coming. Let the Holy Spirit work.
Sandy said to tell the church she really thanks everyone for your prayers and to please continue praying for her. Mm-hmm. And let's continue to pray for Tony Tipton. And we've just got some folks who are going to need us and more than prayers. Reach out with a phone call or a card or something and just let them know.
Amen.
We're in this together.
Yes, Miss Connie. Your mom, yeah. Saw her today. She's a special lady. Anybody else? Yeah. Thank you, Cheryl. Yeah. Yeah, we all need it. Because after we leave here tonight, Satan's going to jump all over you. That's what he does. That's his mission, is to destroy our lives before we get out of here. Let's don't let him. Let's put him behind us. Amen. Brother Tom, you bless our offering.
Until we do travel on, help us, oh God, to stand together, to reach out together, to do your work together, and be a witness for you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Brother John. Thank you.
Lawson, how you doing, buddy? That's my boy. I guess he still is. Lawson, you still my boy? Are you still my boy? When he was just a little baby, he'd sit there in his mama's lap, and I'd be preaching, buddy. He'd be listening. And just grinning and listening. Best listener in the house. Wasn't you, buddy? Now he plays football. He's my main man now because he plays football. Okay, don't forget those things that Nick's got going with the kids, the teenagers and the smaller kids. We want to keep them busy and let them know that we don't just care for them on a Sunday. We care for them every day of the week, and we love them, and we're praying for them. I would not want to be a kid growing up nowadays knowing what I knew when I grew up, if you know the difference. There's so many things confronting our kids, and please, let's be a strength for them, okay? Okay, I'm going to be really short tonight because we have a birthday party going on over next door, and we've got to recognize, for one thing, our associate pastor is getting older, and his wife has already gotten older, and some others. Who else is, whose birthdays is it this month? Yes, okay.
We're going to have a party. Yeah. Like to recognize those birth dates. I don't know the exact date on my being born again, but that was a birthday and a half. I wish I knew the date, you know, the actual date. Wouldn't make any difference. I'm saved and I know that I am. That's what counts, isn't it? Yep. If you'll turn to Psalm 34, we'll cover a few verses of Psalm 34, and then we'll go over to the fellowship hall. Are you there yet? If you're there, say yes. Okay. This was a psalm that David wrote after he fought Goliath, the giant, and killed him. Now, I'm sure Lawson knows that story, how he threw that rock, hit that giant right in the head, and killed him. Remember that? Yeah, he does. And that big fella fell, and it just seemed like he kept falling because he was 10 foot tall and a few inches. That's a big guy. We've got a guy here at the church that's real close to that. But don't throw rocks at him, okay, because he's a good guy. But, yeah, old David, he was a little fella that was out there in the fields keeping sheep, and here was all these soldiers up here, and they were supposed to go take care of this old Philistine giant, and they were scared to death. And here's this little teenager down there keeping sheep. He went over to the brook over there and got him a few rocks and said, the Lord can take care of this, and I'll just throw the rock and let the Lord take care of it. Folks, we need to trust the Lord. And so David wrote this psalm, Psalm 34, right after he had killed Goliath. Now, when he killed Goliath, that was a triumph. That was a praise item, as we would say in the prayer room. I got a praise item. David killed Goliath. That'd be a praise item, wouldn't it? As y'all know, there's been a movie even put out about it. There's a lot of giants in our life that we need to slay. And the only way we can slay them is the same way David slayed the giant, and that's with the Lord by our side and him doing the work. We just need to trust him. He'll do it if we trust. And so all those giants in your life, or they loom as giants, they're not giants to God. They're just giants to us. But they do appear very big sometimes, I know. But let's just trust the Lord. So David did. He had gotten to the place to where he had slayed the giant, and it was a triumph, but it was also a time of problems, because it's amazing what happens when somebody is successful in doing something. There's always some jealousy going on. I don't understand human nature, do you? Wish I did, but I don't. And so that's why I guess the Lord told us just to pray about it and go on about our business. But jealousy is a cruel thing. And David had to fight the jealousy that was going on. You think you've got something you can praise God about, and you do, and then all of a sudden you hear that somebody's jealous. And not only was he jealous, he was going to kill him. Now, you can be jealous of me all you want, and I'm sure y'all are. See, I can tell who's listening. If you didn't hear that, you weren't listening, right? But don't kill me, okay? I would like to stay here longer, if I may. So please, just be jealous all you want, but don't kill me. Don't try to kill me, because then I'd have to run away, and I'd probably take Lawson with me so we could hide in the caves and play Cowboys and Indians or something. You what?
I never played outdoor.
Really? No? Would that sound good? Okay, buddy. Don't take much. Okay, I love his papaw. What do you call him? Paps? You call him Paps? What do you call him?
Poppy.
Yeah, old Poppy. So next time y'all talk to Anthony, call him Poppy. He'll answer to that, I'm sure. Okay, now that we've covered that and we know what he's got going here and we know where David was and we know what frame of mind he was in, it wasn't anything smooth, I can assure you it's not. But even though when it's not smooth for a child of God, and we have that confidence that we talked about this morning, we have that confidence in the Lord that he can take care of anything that comes our way, it's amazing how that smooths out a few bumps in the road. And it gets a lot better. Well, that's where David was when he wrote Psalm 33, and you're going to see what's happening, because this is actually a praise item, and you may wonder how would he write about praising God when he was being hunted and they're wanting to kill him and jealousy was everywhere and it's hard to fight all that stuff. And he said, well, I'm just going to write Psalm 34. And here's what he wrote. And I'm mainly going to be reading Psalm 34 verses 1 through 10. So if you'll just kind of read along with me and let's see how precious the words are. These are God's words. Now, I could give you all kinds of my words, and as you all know, sometimes they come across as very scary because they're not in the right place. They don't say the same thing that you would say. I don't say it the same way you do. I am what I am. Popeye said that, didn't he? He did. And we are all what we are, and that's it. Well, David was too, and here's what he wrote. I will bless the Lord at all times. Is that what he said? You see, he had come to the place, going through what he just went through, he'd come to the place where he had resolved himself to be where he is in writing this. He had let go and just let God take care. He knew he couldn't handle it, and he's just letting go of it and letting God handle it. And here's what he could say. I bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Now, you may wonder why he would say it that way, because he knew that if it's going to get to his mouth, it's got to come through his heart. Man's going to speak what's on his heart. If your heart's not right, you're not going to say very many good things. But if your heart's right with God, and you know what it is to have love and peace and joy and long-suffering and all the fruits of the Spirit in your heart, you're going to speak that way. And David was saying, I'm going to praise continually. It's going to be in my mouth, and I'm going to tell everybody that I come in contact with how good God has been to me, and I bless his name daily in my life. And I just wonder if we could all say that. This, by the way, I don't know much about antidotes, but this could be an effective antidote for these people who are doubting all the time. Y'all ever doubt? Not all the time, though, right? But some folks live on the doubt side. Some folks live on agony and despair. You know that song? Y'all know that. Depression, things like that. Some folks just live there. And I don't think a good doctor or medicine can get them out of it because that's where they want to be. Now, I'm not judging anybody. If it's anybody in here that's like that, please, I don't know you. I'm just making a statement that some folks like to live on that side. Well, David was not going to live on that side. He wasn't, because how would you like to go and meet somebody and you want to win them to the Lord or try to get them to come to church where you go, and you were talking about depression and despair and things that would drag them down and negative, everything's negative. Why, David wasn't going to live there. He wasn't going to live on the negative side. He says, I'm going to bless the Lord at all times. Now, that didn't leave any time in between for anything else, the way I understand the language. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Then he said something else. He's talking about his mouth, the words flowing from his mouth. But then he said something else, but it didn't have anything to do with his mouth. It had to do with his soul. Now that gets a little deeper, doesn't it?
than just what you say from your mouth. He says, my soul shall make her boast in the Lord. Now, he didn't have any control over what the soul is doing. Remember, he'd given his soul to the Lord. God owned his soul. The Lord owned your soul, right? You gave it to him. You've been bought with a price. You don't belong to yourself, so you gave it to him. And that's what he's saying here. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. My soul shall. That's where I live. That's what I'm going to be. That's what I am. I don't want to be anything else. So my soul boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. I love to get around people who know the Lord, love the Lord, and are willing to talk about the goodness of the Lord. Amen. Makes me happy to be around that kind of person. It really does. So if you want me to be happy, just talk about the Lord. I was talking with somebody the other day about a song that's out now. Or, well, it's been out for some time, but just came to know it here recently. And it's Come Jesus Come. Has anybody here heard the song? Yeah. Oh, my goodness. Lawson, you have to hear that. I'm going to make sure you do, okay? Okay, buddy. Come Jesus Come. And I believe that they have it for a choir song. And if they do, and I can get with our choir director, and she feels like it would be something that we could do, we will. I let somebody listen to it, and they were saying, well, good luck in finding those kind of voices. You know, it was him, Stephen McWhirter. Did I get it right? Stephen McWhirter. And Come Jesus Come. Oh, it'll set you on fire. I'm telling you, it will. And I don't know if we can't do it like they were doing. They were professional singers. And they were in a session where they were recording it and everything. But Come Jesus Come. Oh, my. So if you get a chance, Google it by Steve McWhirter. And it should pop up that it's a choir session song. And I'm telling you. You'll thank me for it. In fact, you'll probably want to hug my neck, but I'm not going to let you. Y'all know that's a lie, don't you? So he says, my soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Let's just go and tell how good God's been to us, folks. I know it seems like here recently that I've been lingering in this area, but God's given it to me to give to you. And I want our church not just to be a strong church in number. In fact, that would be the least on the totem pole. I want our church to be strong in the Spirit of the Lord. I want the Spirit, the fruits of the Spirit to just pour out of the people who go to Liberty Fellowship. Let's do that, okay? We can do it. Then he says in verse 3, oh, magnify the Lord. Y'all know what magnifying is, don't you? Did you know that if you get a magnifying glass and hold it out under the sun and put it on a piece of paper, it'll set that paper on fire? Yes, sir. Did you know that? Okay, see, Lawson didn't know that either. Lawson, I'm so glad you're here tonight. I'm going to get you a magnifying glass for Christmas. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Magnify the Lord with me. I love magnifying the Lord. And when I heard that song, I just wanted to hold him up so high. But you know what makes it even better? It's when I can do it with you. That we can get together. You can hear the same words I'm hearing. You feel the spirit in which Stephen sings it. And you'll see it when you hear it. And we can do it together. It doesn't get any better than magnifying the Lord together. That's why we come together in the house of God. That's why he said, fail not to assemble yourselves. Because he knew how important it was that we be together. I can't wait to get here on a Sunday morning to be with all of you. I could be at some other church. I'd probably be let go. But I could be somewhere else, but I want to be here because this is where the people are that God placed me with, and I love every one of you, and I want to magnify the Lord with you, okay? He says, oh, magnify the Lord with me And let us, me, we, us, I like those words, don't you? And let us exalt his name, how? Together. That word was in this morning's message. Did anybody get it? What are we going to do together? We're going to stand together. And when we stand together, we can be together in a lot of things. And we can just be blessed together. Stand together, be blessed together. So the first three verses of this thing has to do with praising the Lord and being blessed together. When I tell you that all things work together for good to them that love the Lord and are called according to his purpose, do you believe it? It's the word of God. There was, who was it? Jacob? Jacob forgot that God was who he was to him. And when he was losing his sons, and it just seemed like all of them were going, and then it came up to where they were saying Benjamin's got to go up. And man, he just was not going to have it. He says, I can't let him go too. I've lost all my sons. What he didn't take into the light of this thing was that God had said somewhere in his spirit, and he just forgot it, that I'm going to work it together for you. I'm going to work it together for Joseph. I'm going to work it together for Benjamin. I'm going to work it together for all of your family, Jacob. Wake up. I'm the one in charge here. So the next time you get worried about the way things are in your life, just remember the promise God made to you. It's the same promise that he made years ago and the same promise it holds today. So God's going to take care of old David, and he knew this. He was just going to love the Lord, and he was going to do what he does. Now look at verse 4, if you will, and it says, I sought the Lord. Now if you're going to seek him out, when he sought him, he just didn't glance to see if he could see him somewhere. You know, have you ever noticed that when you're just glancing at things, how you can miss them? If you're just looking over stuff. Lots of items. Let me get it straight here. You're looking over lots of items, and you're just glancing over them, okay? See, I'm learning how to talk to y'all. And you're just glancing over them. But you're looking for one thing, and it's in there somewhere, and there's a lot of items, and you're just glancing over them. You're probably not going to find it, because it's just going to fly right on by, and you're just going to keep glancing over it, and you're going to say to somebody, I can't find that thing. Could you help me? And they'll say, it's right there, right in front of you. You got to seek it out. You got to pay some attention to it. So that's what he's saying he's doing here in verse 4. He says, I sought the Lord and he heard me with the intent of seeking the Lord. If you're going to seek, you're going to have an intent. With intent, he sought the Lord and the Lord heard him. He always will. Not only did he hear him, but he delivered him. He delivered me from how many of his fears? All of his fears. None left behind to where he can grab it and hold on to it at another time. So when you get to there, they're all gone. They looked upon him and were lightened. You like that? I'll tell you, I may do this again Sunday morning and spend about an hour on it. It's good stuff. Says, and they looked unto him and were lightened. Don't you love to be lightened? Have you ever had anybody say you need to lighten your load? Yeah, your tires are getting flat. Get some of that weight off that bed and your truck will stand up straight. They looked unto him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. It's painful to see somebody with a shamed face because they're ashamed of what they've done or ashamed of where they've been. And that's okay. It's not bad to be ashamed of where you've been. But what you do is you go to the Lord and get it taken. He can wipe the shame off your face. He can wipe it right off because he takes care of it from within. It's not an outward thing. You and I may try to change that. You know, have you ever seen these people in these commercials where they're, yeah. You know, they can be, oh, yeah. I love it when y'all laugh. But that's where he's at here. Their faces were not ashamed. They were exactly what they were inside. So you see, God doesn't work outside in. He works inside out. So if you're going to be something, don't be fake about it. Be what you are. Be confident in the Lord and let people know you're confident in the Lord. Don't be afraid to be confident in the Lord. Please don't. Don't be ashamed of him. Well, I was going to throw that other verse in there about being ashamed of him, but I'm going to let you all, because you know it, right? If you're ashamed of him. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of his troubles. That poor man could be either one of us, couldn't it? This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him. When you ask the Lord to save you, don't you believe he saved you?
Amen.
There was no doubt, was there? Wasn't any doubt for me. I can assure you there was no doubt that he saved me when I asked him to. You know why? Because a little Sunday school teacher had told me that if you'll ask the Lord Jesus into your heart, he'll save you. And I said, how do you know? She said, because John 3:16 says so. And quote John 3:16. It does it. It does it. She knew what she was talking about. So this man cried. He might have cried John 3:16. I don't know. And the Lord heard him and saved him out of his troubles. Now, he changes here. In those verses, he's telling us who to look at. You know, where we're going to direct our eyes so that we can see the one who can actually change us. Looked unto him. But in verse 7, he changes. Because in verse 7, he has come to realize something that is very powerful in his life. In verse 7, he says, the angel of the Lord encampeth around about them that fear him and delivereth them. Now, the key word here is encampeth. Built a safety net around, walled him in, fenced him in. It's like a fort where they would put up these forts and have all these stakes and stuff, you know, where the Indians couldn't come in and get them. You know, I guess the Indians were always trying to get them. And in my day, I would have been an Indian or a cowboy. I didn't care. I just wanted to be involved in the game, you know. But anyway, the pioneers of our land found out they had to have some kind of safety, so they put up a wall around them, and it's good to do that. Now, some of y'all have big, high fences put up around your house for privacy, right? I don't. Y'all have a big, high fence? Well, get one. They're nice. If they're white and they're not wood, because if they're wood, they'll start bending and falling, and everything looks bad after a few years. So get you one of those good ones. And that wasn't a sales pitch or anything. Let's get back to encampeth, okay? The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. When the angel comes in and does his job, folks, it's done right. So there's two absolute wonderful truths here, and I'm going to cover them, and then we're going to go have a birthday party, okay? Because here in these verses, in verse 7, he's talking about our protection, my protection, your protection. He's talking about fencing you in and taking care of you, not letting Satan do anything to you that doesn't go through him first. He'll take care of it. Just believe he will. And in verse 8, he says, not only does he want to protect us, he says in verse 8, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Taste it. I don't know how in the world people thinks I can taste something without going ahead and eating it. Do you? If I spit it out, it's not worth tasting. But if it tastes halfway decent, I'm going to eat it, right? And you taste the Word of God, and I promise you, you'll be eating it. It will be like a piece of coconut pie that I saw on a piece of paper on my desk today, and I was just sitting there. I had torn it out of a newspaper because it was a good recipe for a coconut pie, and I was sitting there looking at it, and my mouth watered when I read about that coconut pie. I'm telling you, folks, if you'll eat the Word of God or taste the Word of God, you'll be eating it, and it'll be like a good piece of coconut pie to you. All you need is a cup of coffee, and you can sit down and enjoy that thing. He says, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good," and then you'll know. "Blessed is the man that trusteth in Him." He's getting somewhere now, isn't he? Because you see, now he's realized all this. This is very strong words right here. He's not making it seem like it could be or couldn't be. He's saying it is. This is the way it is. "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth Him. Oh, fear the Lord, ye His saints." How many saints we got in the building? Every hand in here, if you're a child of God, your hand ought to go up because you're a saint, right? Amen. All you saints, raise your hand. Come on, if you're saved, raise your hand. Yeah. Amen. Yeah, you got to be confident that you're a saint of God. You're a child of God. You're His. You've been saved. The Holy Spirit's moved in, and you're one of His. Oh, fear the Lord. To them that fear Him, no want. Do you ever think of Psalm 23? Something about the Lord is my. I shall not. Oh, mercy. Think about that sometime. When He tells you that He's your shepherd and you there'll be no want in your life, you say, "Well, oh, I want a four-wheeler." Well, that's what you think you need is a four-wheeler. God may not want you to have a four-wheeler. Don't tell Canaan. Canaan got him one. Did he already get it? Oh, he's already got it. Yeah. We'll talk real low. We won't let him know we know. Okay? God knows what you need. God knows what you need. And when He says, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good, blessed is a man that trusts Him. Oh, fear the Lord, ye His saints, for there is no want to them that fear Him." Now, if that's not where you are, if you're not standing in awe of Him, if you haven't seen His awesome power, if you haven't seen His awesome wisdom, if you haven't seen how He can take care of everybody at all times, everywhere, how He is present everywhere, if you haven't seen that, then you're not in a place to fear Him. He's everything. In fact, that song that was written years ago, "There Goes My Everything," that wasn't a country song when it was written. The man who wrote that was writing about the Lord. He's His reason for living. Now that goes to about a woman, I think, the man's singing about that. She's my reason for living. But when the man wrote it, that wasn't it at all. It was, "He's my reason for living. There goes my everything." It's what he was saying. John the Baptist could have said that, couldn't he? He could have wrote that song. When the Lord came by, he said, "Oh, behold, there goes my everything." And you and I look at Him and we say, "There is my everything." He's everything to us, folks. "Oh, fear the Lord, ye His saints, for there is no want in them that fear Him. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing." Is He good to us? What a praise that is. And old David had it right. He was just praising the Lord. I hope we'll do that tomorrow when we go out. Tonight when we leave here, you may stop off at a store somewhere. Tell somebody, praise the Lord. Let's bow our heads. Lord, we're grateful for what You've been to us today. We're thankful for everything You are to us, and we trust You and we love You. And we want to praise you in every way that we possibly can. Lord, just let us see that a heart has to be right if our words are going to be spoken correctly. We've got to hear them from you, from the sweet Holy Spirit that can come into our hearts and into our souls and give us what to say. Lord, help us to be an uplift to somebody this next week. And if somebody out there that you put us in front of needs the Lord, let's invite them to know Jesus. If they need a good church to worship in, let's invite them to come here because we can feel the Spirit of God here. We praise you, Lord, for everything. And we're going to praise you in the name of your sweet Son and our wonderful, wonderful Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.